Amen. Am I on? Nope. Am I on? Huh? Oh, there we go. I'm on. I wanted to be on before I prayed. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your word, and we can look into your word, and you can be our teacher. And that, Lord, you can show us things that we would never otherwise know if you didn't reveal them. And God, we thank you for our salvation. We thank you that you've chosen us, you've touched us, Lord, and that through all things we can call upon you and just be part of your mighty work in this world. And we thank you for our salvation. We have a home in heaven. So I pray you just anoint me and just with the Spirit and just I would say nothing of the flesh and just only things of the Spirit. And I pray each person be open to receive in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we will look at John 15:5. John 15:5. We'll start off there, and it says this: I am the vine, you are the branches. I am the vine, you are the branches. As we've been going through the book of John, the Gospel of John, the first 14 chapters, if you will, God has opened up and told us things that are just miraculous. I mean, it really is incredible. He opened up things, and Jesus has told us things concerning God, concerning eternity, concerning heaven, and revealed how God has given us, how God has given us all things to those who love him. And when you take about the 14 chapters, it's really very, very encouraging. But on the other hand, it is like totally beyond human understanding. I mean, it's like, wow, but it's just hard for us to get our arms around this. But we do see, as he's shown us these things, we should just be in absolute awe, just absolute awe of him and what he's done and the fact that he has touched us and saved us. And so, that's rehearsing. That's kind of where we are, just the magnitude of what God has done, and it just should put us in awe as we look at his majesty. Now, what we have here, and it's like Jesus, this is almost like Jesus says, okay, I've given you a lot. Now I'm going to tie it all together. And so what Jesus does, I believe, in John 15, 1 through 5, he ties it together. He says, okay, I'm going to give you, there's a lot of questions, but I'm going to tie all this together. And so I want to help you understand. And so what he does to help us understand, he gives us an analogy. Okay, an analogy. And the reason he gives us analogy is because he wants us to understand what he's just said, all right? And this analogy, this analogy pulls everything together and helps us understand how we live out this miracle relationship with the Father. Okay? So we ready? John 15:1. This is what he's doing. He's come to this point. It's like, I'm trying to tell you, I want to see, let you know how we can pull this together and how I'm working to do these mighty things in you. So to see that, let's start with verse 1, 15, John 15, verse 1. So he's, after all this information, he speaks out to his disciples and he says this. Jesus says, I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. Now just process that. Okay? He goes, I am the vine. Okay. True vine, and my Father is gardener. Now, I don't, this has to do with, and you know, if anybody has, there's lots of wineries around here in Northern Virginia. The context, what he's talking about is the wine, the branches. Wine vines and the branches that come off the vine for wine, for grapes. So he's talking about grapes and how grapes grow. So that it works with any you know, fruit, a vegetable, fruit, I guess, in a certain way. But he's talking about something they would be very familiar about. But he's talking about a wine grove. So you have these vines, and then you have these branches, and these grapes. Grapes are growing from it. That's his mindset, because they fully understand that analogy. But the analogy is showing us something way deeper about the magnitude of God and how our relationship with him. Okay? Now, it shouldn't be overlooked. The first statement here, in which we've gone over in great detail, is the word, I am. I am. And we can't overlook this, because this is the seventh time in the Gospel of John that Jesus has declared himself as the I am. And that's not just I am. Jesus is saying, I am the I am, the I am, from Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, when he told Moses, I am who I am. Okay, that's what God said. I am who I am. And so what Jesus is doing for the seventh time in the gospel, he's saying, I am who I am. So that's how he's introducing this. That's how he's introducing this. I am who I am. I am the I am. And I am the vine. I'm the true. I am the true vine. And so if he's the true vine, he says, you see all these grapes? It's because I'm here. I'm the true vine. Okay? I'm how you get the grapes. Or I'm the true vine. But then you look here also, there's also another point we look at, and he said, and my father's the gardener. Okay, wait a minute. I'm good with the vine and the grapes. He's the gardener. But my father's the gardener. And so this whole analogy, he's pulling this in to give us some understanding here. Now, another point that should not be overlooked, and you read through this, the Lord Jesus is talking and telling us about the church. That's what he's talking about. He's coming in. This is one of the first explanations where he is communicating the greater ministry that he's going to have with the church. So when he goes, I'm the vine, okay, you are the branches, Father's the gardener, he's talking about the church. So that's important for us to know, because he brings us all in now. So we think, oh my gosh, he's talking about us. He really is talking about us. We better pay attention, you know, because this is a real focus here. And it's a common, you know, I look at this and read a few things, and pretty much your theologians, they agree. They don't disagree about this. They agree he's talking about the church. He's talking about the church. Now, so what we see here, he's talking about the church, that in the church age, you know, after Jesus is resurrected, and after he's resurrected and begins the church, in the church age, he's telling us that Jesus is the vine, the source of life. So that's the church age, okay, a church. Jesus is the vine. He is the vine and the source of all life. And the Father is the gardener, okay? The Father is the gardener who is responsible for cultivating the things growing from the vine. And this analogy helps us to understand our walk with God. What's going on? It's the vine. Stuff growing from the vine, you know, source of life, giving life. And God says, yeah, and I'm the gardener. What does the gardener do? He's responsible for cultivating the vine so it'll bear fruit. The Father's going to be doing something. He's going to be doing something with the church. He's going to be doing something with the church. That's a whole analogy here. So we see here in the second verse, he tells us, y'all ready for this? He tells us. Look at John 15:2. The Father cuts off every branch in me, Jesus, that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be more fruitful. I would say, how many of you have been pruned? How many of you have been pruned? You know? It's like, God, why? How many of you have done that? God, why? You know, well, this is for your own good. But that hurts. You cut something off me, that hurts. See? So you look at this whole thing, it goes, the Father cuts off every branch that doesn't bear fruit. So it's coming from the vine. But now I need to pause here. Jesus is talking about believers. Now we know this from the first 14 chapters. Okay? We'll go talk to our neighbor or somebody at the store. He's talking about, this message belongs in the church. He's talking to the people in the church. He's talking to us. And he expects us, the church, to bear fruit. So when he says, well, there's no fruit on that branch, he says, we have to cut that branch off. Now, do you lose your salvation? How many of you think you'd lose your salvation? If you think you can, you're wrong. Okay, you can't lose yourself. So he's not talking about you losing your salvation. It cuts off. He's talking about your effectiveness. All right? And it's like, all right, I can't use them. Just remove them. Okay? And we'll be with them in heaven. See? But their effectiveness, they don't have any effectiveness here. So he cuts them off. And the reason he cuts them off, because they don't bear any fruit. They're just hanging there, just hanging out with Jesus. You know, they're just hanging there. Dried up. And then, but you got some fruit, and he said, so you have branches, and so they're bearing some fruit. Now, any of you that have been, you know this, if you have anything, this vineyards, wines, they do this all the time, has all the branches, and they cut off, the frivolous branches, and you have a good branch, and so they prune it, so what's left on it can grow more, be more. So it's healthy to prune it. And so what's bearing fruit, what's doing good, he prunes. Now notice about this. Interesting, you think about it. Who's left in the church, we talk about believers, who's left out of this process? I could put it a different way. Who is just sailing through the Christian life without any issues whatsoever? Nobody. And God said, no. And said, nobody getting out. God's going, nobody's going to get out from under me pruning them. It's going to happen. And you say, well, why? Because God's goal is Christ himself and the fruitfulness he wants in us. Therefore, he wants the best grapes, so he'll prune it so he can have the best grapes. See? Now, so you have this hope. Picture, okay, Jesus, I'm going to tell you about the church. Here it is. And we're into the vine and the grapes. You go, well, what? He brought in the gardener to make this vineyard really good. He brings in the gardener. And the gardener's job is to really make this vineyard productive. So that's a whole mindset. And again, so it's coming up. It's coming on the tail end of the first 14 chapters. You know, now weren't we all just kind of giving high fives on the first 14 chapters? Ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Yes. I mean, hallelujah. You know, so that's all true. But he says, now I want to explain now how that works. Let's look at John 15. I'll give you a picture kind of how this works. Now, so we see here the Father, the gardener, cuts off fruitless branches, ineffective branches, and prunes junk growth from the fruitful branches. See, the fruitful branches have junk growth on them. See, and if you're like me, if you're a fruitful branch, I kind of like my junk growth. You know, I mean, my junk growth is kind of fun. I like that, you know. And God goes, no, we need to fix that. We need to clean that up. And you notice, he said, that he prunes it. Have you ever pruned? It gives you an idea that there might be, that could be a little painful. That could be a little painful, you know, but the Lord's happy to do that. So we see what's happening here. The Father, so what we see the gardener doing, and we're talking about the church. We're talking, and what the church is people who believe on the Lord Jesus. So this is who he's talking about. He doesn't prune people that don't know Jesus. Okay, there's other things going on there. But in the church, he's doing something with church people, people within the church. Lord. The Father takes action to secure the fruitfulness of the church corporately and each believer individually. Amen? This is what he's telling us about. I actually read this in the commentary. I don't want to take credit for this at all. It says, God removes dead wood from his church and he prunes fruitful believers. So I just say that because I don't want you to think I said that. I read that someplace. Right? But you see what's happening. You see what's happening here. God is going, no, this is my church. And my church is productive. My church reflects me. Therefore, I'm going to remove the dead wood so I have people have a good view of me. And then I'm going to prune the fruitful believers because this is my body. This is my body, and I want it to reflect me, and I want my body fruitful. Now, remember, we're talking about fruitful. Fruitful. Now, and so we know that left to itself, branches will produce unproductive growth. Now, don't we know that? I mean, you look in your backyard, okay? When you look in the vineyard, but look in your backyard. You know, wouldn't you like it? Your shrubbery just to grow what it's supposed to grow. It just looked good. You know? But you know, yeah, I've cut this and cut this. Now it's beautiful. After you cut that and cut that and cut that. Now it's beautiful. See? And that's what God's saying he's doing. He said, I'm cutting away the unproductive growth. I'm cutting that away from my body. From my body. Now, so when we see this, pruning ensures that more fruitfulness will take place. Do you believe that? You believe that? It's like, no, this is no fun. This is not what I signed up for. This is too tough for me to handle, you know. And he said, yeah, well, this you're right, because now you're going to need me. And to get a good view of me, I got to get rid of some of that junk. And so you can be as fruitful as I want you to be, so you can be the man I want you to be. Now, see, if you meet like me, I'm over here, I'm pretty happy with my extra branches. I mean, I just want to kind of just love Jesus and slither through. You know, and God goes, we're not going to have that. See, because he's the gardener, and he doesn't listen to my suggestions. See, that's just the way it works, you know. I mean, if you had a shrub that was talking back to you, all right, you could stop it. You don't know what you're talking about, and you just prune it anyway. See, that's kind of what the Lord's telling us. So, and by the way, these unproductive branches, you know, they're coming. You know, we're pretty happy with them. We're pretty, even, you know, some people are like, well, I'm walking closer with Jesus and a little self-righteous. And God goes, you're not even close, buddy. You're not close, you know. See, now, if we're foolish enough to think we're that close, there's so much pruning coming, we're just going to, head's going to spin. You know, because that's a clear view that you don't have a clue what God's doing. See, so here's a picture. So you're pulling all these things together. Now, so God pruning ensures fruitfulness. Ensures fruitfulness. The action of the Father, the gardener, guarantees fruitful growth in the vine. You can only get there through pruning. That's the only way to get there, is through pruning. Now, therefore, what should every believer expect? Pruning is going to happen. It's going to happen. Lord, I just want to love Jesus and everything to work out. And if I love Jesus enough, everything will work out. That's not a biblical view. You love Jesus, and Jesus will take you where you're supposed to be. He'll refine you and make you fruitful to reflect Him. See? So there's says, well, now I'm going to go back to John 14:14. Ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Is that true? Is John 15 also true? How's that work? Ask anything in my name and I'll do it. And just come to me and I'll prune it off and you'll reflect me and all the things I want you to do. Now ask anything you want. See, I want to ask anything I want with all my extra branches. See, I want to ask whatever I wanted and you to do it with all my garbage I'm bringing with me. See, that's why. See, I'm being transparent. Y'all think I'm making this up. No, that's exactly how I think. I mean, it's like, no, I just, you know, just leave me where I am and just give me what I want. I'm happy with that, you know. Well, no, I really do want to give you anything you ask. But, you know, I want to help you. You're not going to be able to handle it. So I need to prune you. I need to prune you. But then I go, but God, that hurts. See, that hurts. I've even done this. Lord, I love you with all my heart. You know, and now this is just me, okay. I said, Lord, I love you with all my heart. And he goes, really? Yeah. We'll see. And then I go, God, why are you doing this? Because you said you love me with all your heart, therefore you're excited that I'm going to prune you to make you the man you should be. Wait a minute, that's not how I connected all that. See, and so you see why chapter 15 is important. See, ask anything in my name, I'll do it. That's chapter 14, verse 14. That's before 15. So I love 14:14. And he said, okay, now I'm going to take you to chapter 15. Now, this is how it works. I don't want to go that far. I want to stay in 14:14. I don't want to go to chapter 15:1. Okay. So, like we've always shared here in the Bible, it's like you got to read the whole thing. You got to read the whole thing. I always share this. We all have children, you know. They come back. Even when they're adults, old as you, they come back. My son has this. Was it Campus Crusade? Campus Crusade. And he hates it. He hates these flyers that Campus Crusade put out. And he's a teenager. And it says, God has a wonderful plan for your life. Now, that's true. Ask anything in my name, I'll do it. He said, God has a wonderful plan for your life. He goes, you better read the fine print. That's what he always told me. He said, no, you shouldn't ever give that to anybody. Don't give that tract to anybody. You need to know the fine print. And you know what the fine print is? John 15:1. That's the fine print. 14:14 is true, but John 15:1-5 is the fine print. See, so he is technically correct, but like most children, he just did that to irritate his father. But now, so here's that whole view. He said, oh my goodness. Now, so every believer should expect pruning. You know, if you go see somebody, and not you shouldn't judge anybody, they're just sailing through life, nothing goes wrong, you know, I'm just loving Jesus and everything's falling in place. You know, it's like, I don't know, something's wrong. Because that's not the way God works. Something's wrong. Hey, I'm doing this, everything well, come with me. Now you just go by yourself. Because something, either you're not walking with Jesus or you're fixing to step on a landmine. Either one of them's happening, okay? I know that. I've always shared this too. I've shared this before. But I had this dear friend, and we just knew early in our Christian life, and he was just, oh, gung-ho. And I kind of had an idea that, you know, you had went through struggles and stuff, but he was just gung-ho. And we were praying, and he goes, I want to be just like the Apostle Paul. I want to be just like the, and we're in chairs together. I want to be like just like the Apostle Paul. And I just scooted my chair away from him. And I said, Lord, he said that. I didn't. Because I knew something. No. That I didn't want God to confuse his prayer with me. You know, it's like you do that to him. See, because he's like, no. God works. He said, okay, I'll do that. But I have to prune you. Because he pruned, you know who he pruned? He pruned the Apostle Paul big time. I love Apostle Paul. He goes, I thorn in my flesh, and I prayed God 3 times to take it away. Didn't he say that, Paul? I have this thorn in my flesh, and 3 times I prayed you take it away. Do you know what God's answer was? You remember? He goes, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. You see? That's pruning. Say, it's like, oh, this is, no, this is for you. Okay, you want to be what I want you to be? You do that with the thorn I gave you. You know, now ask anything in my name, and I'll do it, except taking that thorn away. But other than that, you see what I'm saying? It's so stinking consistent in what the Lord is trying to tell us here, but understand. So he promises, ask anything in my name, and I'll do it. But it's like, okay, where are you in all this? Oh, God, I love you with all my heart. And not being a little facetious. Love you. He goes, really? I don't think you know what you're saying. But he wants to take us to that place where we do understand. Because he does want to give us all things that we ask. So it's like, okay. And now, he throws in John 15:3. And I think because everybody's going after John 15:2, you go, oh, my God. You know, I don't know if I'm even in the kingdom. I mean, what in the world? So he says, John 15:3. He goes, listen, by the way, I'm continuing here. You are really clean. Now, so this is who he's talking about. Like if he was talking to y'all, right? He says, listen, you are already clean. You're already clean because the word of God I've spoken to you. See, you believe what I told you up to this point. You're clean. I'm just telling you, like my son said, you need to read the fine print. We're not done. You're all clean, but you're not done. I'm going to take you, continue farther. Now, so it's very clear that Jesus is talking to believers. The word already made Jesus' disciples cleaned and washed in the blood. They're already washed in the blood. Our home in heaven is secure. And this is important. So this is important, knowing this, to help us understand that God's work within the church and within the believer is not punishment, but it's discipline and training. Oh, what did I do wrong? You didn't do nothing wrong. It's not punishment. It's discipline and training. See? So he wants us to we want to hang out in John 14:14. God, ask anything in my name, I'll do it. He's okay, that's good. I'm going to take you there. I am going to take you there. But I'm going to have to discipline you and train you so that you can even understand what you're asking and so I can trust you with all the things you're asking for. Discipline and training. It's not punishment. See, if we don't understand it, well, God's punishing me. What did I do wrong? Man, so-and-so, they're just sailing through life, and I'm going through these difficult... What did I do wrong? You didn't do anything wrong. You prayed a prayer that you wanted to grow in me. You prayed a prayer that you wanted to be the man I want you to be, and that's what I'm going to do. They didn't pray that prayer. You prayed that prayer. You see what's happening here? I'll take you there. And so when we realize that, then and this is where you get these other verses where it says, and again, it just used to, well, it still does drive me crazy. You know, you get this, rejoice in your trials. Well, now that's about half nuts, isn't it? Rejoice in your trials. Why? Because I am pruning and disciplining and training you. You should rejoice because I'm going to make you the man you should be. See, Rich and I like to talk about football stuff. We just exaggerate like crazy after a while, but it's fun. We enjoy it. But football players, you just see them on the football field and they're doing this, you like that. But any of us played football, you've been spring training and you've been to the summer training in August, you know. I do not know one football player ever said it was fun. No, in fact, it's miserable. If you've ever done it, if you're ever saying you ain't played football, if you've ever done it, it's miserable. It is that you think you're going to die. Now, the games are fun because you were miserable for 4 weeks in August. See, but you come and now you're, see, it's this. Coach is just picking on me. He's just been making me hit this guy and run these lanes. He's picking on me. He's just, oh, you just drive me nuts. He's like, no, thank you. Okay, I'm going to do everything you ask. I'm going to do more. Yeah, I'm going to keep moving. I'm going to pay attention, you know. And because, you know, they're preparing you to make you who you want to be. See? But if you don't understand it back here, you just complain. And then you won't do everything you're supposed to. You'll try to cut corners. Trying to cut corners. You see? So the analogies are all there, what God is doing to us, and he's using the analogies here, so with the vine and the branches. So for us to remember that, let's see here. So when we understand that, we see to grow spiritually, the believer must persevere pruning. To grow spiritually, the believer must persevere pruning. Therefore, verse 4, see, John 15:4, Jesus says, remain in me. Don't quit. Don't quit. Hey, Richard and I, we talk about August. You know what you do in August for football? It's don't quit. You don't quit. That's the key. The key for playing football is don't quit in August. Don't quit in August. And this is what Jesus is saying. Okay, all this is true. You want to do this, and you've heard what I promised you. Ask anything in my name, and I will do it. Verse 14, remain in me. Now, what are we talking about here? Branches and vines. He's saying the branch, stay in the vine. See, remain in me. And I also remain in you. See, he's giving a picture of trying to help us understand what's going on. Remain in me, and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. God, I could be a wonderful Christian if you'd just leave me alone. I'd be a happy Christian if you'd leave me alone. You know, you don't bear fruit. Coach, I'd be the best player you ever had if I could skip August. Just let me skip August, you know, and then I'm ready. So, do you see what I'm saying? It's insanity looking at this. And he has to say, I've given you this whole picture. No branch can bear fruit by itself. He says, remain in me. Stay connected to the vine. Stay connected. Remain in me. You see that? You can see that picture. And it's just, as you have an understanding, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. How clear can you get? Ask anything in my name, I'll do it. What are you connected to? You know, I'm connected to this, 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 and this. But the strength comes in the vine. Are you connected to the vine? I'm connected to my work. I'm going to just, even this is sound too, I'm connected to my family. You know, you got to be connected to the vine to produce fruit for your family and your work. You see, I mean, it's all here. It's amazing when you start looking at this, how fascinating it is when the Lord has laid this out. Already made clean, we now must remain connected to the vine, gaining our strength from the vine. See the picture? Isn't that? I mean, it's so clear, it's amazing. No branch can bear fruit by itself. Of course not. You rip off a branch, you lay it there. It doesn't do anything. There's no strength in that because you ripped it off from the vine. Now listen to this. Little ad lib, but the flow is here, okay? As a branch remains connected to the vine so that the life-giving sap may flow through it, right? That's just knowledge, right? You stay connected to the vine so the life-giving sap can flow into the branch and into the branches. Amen? Okay, the picture is, so we must remain connected to Christ so the life-giving sap, the Holy Spirit, may flow from Jesus to us. God's God did it all. Now, he doesn't mention anything about the sap here, but it's understood. Well, Jesus, help me, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Just get connected. And that sap will flow, the Holy Spirit will flow through you because it comes from the vine. Just like that picture. But the sap gives the life. God goes, I'm in you, you in me. You know, you're in the Father. What are you talking about? The vine and the branches. And when the branch is connected to the vine, the sap flows through and gives it fruit. As Christians, if we stay connected to Christ, the sap of the Holy Spirit flows into us and gives us fruit. Clear as day. Ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Now, I'll do it now. I'll do it. Ask anything in my name, and I will do it. So, When you look at this, the effectiveness of the believer depends on his receiving a constant flow of life from Christ. Okay. See? Now, Paul totally understood this. Now, listen to what Paul, this vision we have, vine and the branches, listen to what Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 29. So he knows this. Colossians chapter 1, verse 29. For this I work, struggling with all his energy. Where'd that energy come from? With all his energy. I'm connected to the vine, and it just sap is just flowing in me. It's just flowing in me. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works within me. There's a whole explanation right there. What's happened? He understood this. Now, remaining in Christ is a prerequisite for fruitfulness. And Jesus continues. And here's the verse. It's just like, you should blow bugles and jump up and down and scream and run around the sanctuary. John 15:5. Settling right here. Here's the answer. Ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Here's the answer. That's an absolute, isn't that an absolute truth? Ask anything in my name, I'll do it. That's what he says, John 14:14. But he also says this, John 15:5. I am the vine. You are the branches. I mean, you could put this, you're not the vine, and I'm not the branches. I mean, a lot of people run around branches declaring they're the vine, you know, their branches. I'm going to claim God do this. I'm going to claim God do this. I'm going to speak this. No, that's what the vine does. Jesus says, I'm the vine. You are the branches. You receive and you listen. I'm the vine. You're the branches. If you remain in me, branch, I remain in you, sap. You know what I mean? You remain in me, click, and sap flows in you. The whole thing. If you remain in me, I remain in you. You will, unqualified, you will bear much fruit. You can't help but bear fruit. You can't help but bear fruit. Connect, the sap runs through you. Remember, you're not the vine, you're the branch. And so as a branch, you connect to the vine, and the sap runs through you, and you will be fruitful. And then listen, I'm going to read the last part of that verse. Y'all read it to me. We need some theologian to interpret this to us so we can grasp the depth of this last verse. You need a college education to understand the last piece of this. Right? I'm being terribly sarcastic and probably not pleasing the Lord whatsoever, but I want you to read it. There it is. There it is. Ask anything in my name, I'll do it. But there's a but. No, I wouldn't say it, but it's an and because of. Let's put because of. There's no but. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. A lot of Christians are doing stuff apart from Jesus. They are. Oh, this will work. You know, I want you to come. This is work. This is work. No. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Then to be apart from you can do nothing. Then what do we have to do? What do we have to do anything? Connect the vine. Connect the vine. Apart from being connected to vine, you can't do anything. But I have a great idea. That's called pruning, Wallace. It's called pruning, and you'll figure this out. You'll figure this out, because that's pruning. See, you have to be connected to the vine. The sap flows in, and you can do nothing apart from the sap, the Holy Spirit. Amen? I want to share something, and I really mean this to encourage what the Scriptures say. Isn't this clear? Isn't this clear? It's totally clear. You know what our problem is? Let me tell you. You know what my problem is? I don't like what he's telling me. That's my problem with it. I don't like it. You know, I don't like the idea of him pruning me. I don't like the idea of him telling me my ideas stink. You know, I'm not telling me that something that it may not be a sin whatsoever, but it's a hindrance to my growth, and therefore I need to remove it. See, not sin. It was a hindrance to the growth, so I want to remove it. See, that's pruning. Why would he prune? Because I want you to be more fruitful. Now, this explains the whole thing. The whole thing. Now, remember, all of us, we're on John 14:14. Ask anything in my name, I'll do it. All right? Well, this is it. You got to be connected to the vine. You got to have the sap flowing through to the branches. And he will take care of it. He'll prune it. And you know, if there's dead wood, he said, I'll just remove them. That means they're ineffective. I mean, what's ineffective? I love Jesus and I just want to slither through life. That's ineffective. Not saying you're not going to heaven. You say, I love Jesus. I don't want to do anything. You know, I don't want you to interfere, you know, with me. But I love you, but I don't want you to interfere with you. See, then you become ineffective. And that's the whole thing what's talking about here. So this is amazing. Now, so what we have here, the whole thing, is that we have this I have a note to myself. This is the verse you should put on your refrigerator. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay. It's easy to memorize. It really is. Apart from me, you can do nothing. See, memorize it, meditate on it. This is an emphatic declaration of human helplessness apart from Christ. I'm going to ask you something. We have an election coming up in November. Will who we elect solve our problems? I don't care who you think. Will it? Now I'm going to vote. Will it solve the problems? No. Because it's bound in human hopelessness. And until a person in a country embraces Christ, it's doomed to destruction. I'm just telling you, that's what it is. The only answer, the only salvation is through Christ. Now, I believe Christ is moving, and Linda and I talk about this. We think, you know, we better put on our seatbelts and watch, because things shaking up here. They're shaking up here. And it's like, oh my goodness. And so we're watching, you know, don't pretend to project and prophesy, but we're watching because we know things are happening. And we know some of the things that happen. Jesus is not pleased with. He's not pleased. So I promise you something's going to happen. It's going to happen, okay? Because he's not pleased with what's happening. Because of rejection to him, you know. And so, unless we have embraced him, nothing's going to change. And nothing's going to change. That would be a good thing. It's going to get worse. Okay? So here we have Hudson Taylor. Anybody heard of Hudson Taylor? Hudson's an unbelievable missionary for 50 years, the late 1800s in China. Unbelievable missionary. And this verse, this section, the understanding of this, in this verse changed his whole ministry. His whole, you can look this up. It changed his ministry. This, Hudson Taylor, you know, one of the greatest missionaries that ever was. He wrote this. He wrote this. Hudson Taylor wrote, the branch of the, now, pay attention, okay. Hudson Taylor wrote, biggest missionary there was, China, missionary in China. He said, the branch of the vine does not worry. The branch does not worry. The branch does not work. The branch does not rush here to seek sunshine. The branch does not run to find rain. No, it rests in union and communion with the vine. And at the right time and in the right way, the right fruit will be found on it. Greatest missionary in the world since the Apostle Paul. Maybe somebody, you know, come in second. Huge. And he goes, he said, that's the answer. He said, this is the answer. Changed his whole ministry. So, he says, let us abide in the Lord Jesus. Now, here we go. It says, we can do nothing apart from Christ, but we can do all things through Christ. That's the other side of that coin. We can do nothing apart from, but we can do all things through Christ. Like John 14:14. Ask anything in my name, I'll do it. See, I'll do it. So that's the lesson. We can do nothing apart from Christ, but we can do everything through Christ. And the Apostle Paul understood this, and he said, look in Philippians 4:13. The Apostle Paul said, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Not an issue. I can do all things, all of this, or I can do all things through him who gives me strength. All you got to do is stay connected to the vine. Receive the sap and watch God grow. Yeah, I do these silly things and stuff, but you just think of it. You ever watch gropes? grapes grow. You know, you ever see, do you see grapes grunting as they grow? Yeah, they grunt, and then you got a grape. No, you don't see, they just grow. You say, look, where'd these come from? They just grow, see? That's the Christian life. You don't grunt. You stay connected and receive. You receive. Now, God closes. You know, I'd almost, if it was me, I would stop here. But he gives us two more verses that, well, he did it. Okay. He did it. I'm not going to. This is what he says. He gives us, now Jesus gives us a warning and a promise. I said all this, now he gives us a warning and a promise. So, this is the warning to Christians, okay? This is the warning to Christians. This is the warning to people in here. This is the warning to Christians who live as if Christ doesn't exist. I do my own thing with my own growth. This is the Christians, a warning to Christians who live if Christ doesn't exist. Verse 6, 15:6. If you do not remain in me, doing your own thing, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. It's like, oh, I'm going to bring judgment on you. It's like, no, I'll just leave you alone. You just wither, and it's just like stuff that burns. And what you do, you're given over to your own sin, and the burning fire comes from your own sin. See? It's, you know, we have the mercy of God, but we can, by our own volition, move out of from the mercy. All right? So he's saying it really clear. Okay. No, there is a choice here. There is a choice. He said, I'm just warning you. But I told, ask anything in my name, I'll do it. However, if you don't remain in me, just like a branch that's thrown away and withers, such branches are picked up and thrown in the fire and burned. Now, the flip side, praise Jesus, verse 7. See, some volition, some of our own decision here. Look at the promise to Christians who love Christ and do what they tell him. John 15, 7, next verse. If, remember 6, if you don't, verse 7 is, if you do continue to remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. Son of a gun, he repeated John 14, 14. He got from John 14, 14 and brought it all back to John 15. You see what the connection is? He said, I love this John 14, 14. He says he loves it. He said, ask anything in my name, I'll do it. And he brings it here. If you remain in me, my words in you, whatever you wish, whatever. Tell me what's under whatever. Everything's under whatever. Everything's under whatever. Whatever you wish, it'll be done for you. Now, right here, we're kind of wrapping up here. The word here, now this is, I think this is interesting. It says, if my words remain in you. Okay, we all understand the Bible, that they, when it uses the word in the Bible, it's logos. Okay, it means the whole Bible, logos. And you see that almost a lot of times in the Bible, you see word and it's using the word logos. Okay, well, that's not the word it uses here. It doesn't use logos. And it says, the literal meaning for the word here is rhema. It's rhema. It's if my rhema remains in you. Now, what rhema is a specific word to you. A specific word. There's an interesting thing when you read in when the angel's talking to Mary about that she's going to have a child, and it says he talked to Mary, rhema. He talked a word to her. Here's Mary, just read the Bible, the logos. He goes, no, here's rhema. This is a rhema for you. And so what it said, if my rhema remains in you, if my rhema remains in you. See, that's a specific word. If my specific word remains in you. That means we must continually walk with Christ and hear the specific words He continually speaks to us. I'm saved, my sins are forgiven, hang on John 3:16, they're nailed to the cross and covered in the blood. Okay, that's rhema, that's logos, but He's no. You got that's logos, but there's more words, Willis. You don't stay there. There's more words. You come. I'm going to tell you more stuff. There's pruning that's going to take place. There's more words that's going to take place. So what He's saying, that I'm going to continue to speak to you, and for you to walk with me and for you to be where you're supposed to be, you're going to continue to hear me speak and continue to tell you what to do and continue to lead you in everything in your life. You're going to hear Ramus. You're going to hear specific words to you. I read the Bible. Now, I have one of the things I do good. There's so many things I don't do good. I need to pray more. I need to do all sorts of things. But I just, before you, one thing I consistently have done 40 years is I read the Bible. I just read it. You know, it's kind of like breakfast. I just do it. And, you know, you would look at it and read, well, here's a great verse. You know, I'm glad God showed me this for the church. You know, by the way, He doesn't ever do that. When I read something and it like burns in my heart, that was for me. He's speaking to me. He's showing something specific in me. He's showing how He's trying to prove me. He's giving me direction, and all consistent with the Word and the flow of the Word and what He's doing. Those are Ramus. He speaks to His people, all of us. I mean, well, how does God speak to you? Well, just have a conversation with Him. Start. Okay? Start. Read the Bible. Start. Like Wood said, we really believe you ought to read the Word. Okay? Well, start. Read it. You read it. And there's great things. You learn things. And you might even learn some things you ought to apply to me. You know, Wallace needs to do this. That's good, you know? But what in that, He's going to say something to you. See, and that's the rhema that He's going to speak to you is the church. He said, I'm the vine. You're the branches. And the sap will flow through. You stay connected. You stay connected to me. As Christians, we are in another kingdom. We're in another kingdom, folks. I'm just telling you. We're trying to live in the world and all the world, and the world's going to hell in the handbasket. All right? And it is, okay? And, you know, well, we're just living in it, if you want to. But we are in a different kingdom, a kingdom in which God is moving, and He's speaking to His people. He's speaking to His people for them specifically, what He wants them specifically to do. You know, I've always joked before, and said, oh, I got a neighbor driving me crazy. Wallace, I wish you'd come over and talk to them. You know, they need Jesus. I go, no, they're your neighbor. They're your neighbor. God puts you in there, your neighbor. You need to work, and you need to speak to your neighbor. You see, that's how that works. See, that's how that, Wallace, and you learn to do that as a pastor. You know, so, Wallace, I think you should. And I'm thinking, when I hear that, I said, no, this is something you should. Your idea, don't give me your idea. God told you, you ought to do it. You see what I'm saying? I mean, that's helpful. I mean, if all of y'all told me your idea is what I should do, you know, I'd smile and be nice to you. But I can get, if I wanted to, I'd get them done. But I feel better now that I know God told you, you're the one supposed to do it. Don't give me your word what you're supposed to do. You do it. Yeah, you can come and I'll pray for you to do it, all right? But I don't want to do your word, all right? I want to pray for you to do your word, see? I would just be getting funny again. If I got together and said, okay, we're going to move Percival. The Lord told me the word. you know, and you should go. He told you. He didn't tell me. See? You see what I'm saying? He speaks to the individuals. He speaks to, now, always consistent with Christ's inspiration of the Word. But the point of is, what he's saying here, you're in a different kingdom. God's hand is on you. He is teaching you. He is pruning you. He's directing you. All right? And you need to listen to what he's telling you. Amen? Amen. Amen. And so we close with this. Colossians 1:13-14. God, and listen to this. This is this. It's totally tied in to John 15:5. It's totally tied in. Colossians 1:13-14. For God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He pulled and he brought you out. Okay? He did that. And he said, now listen. Now start listening. I pulled you out. Now start listening to me. Start listening to me. And as I work through you and prune you, and the sap flows through you, and ask anything. Ask anything in my name, and I'll do it. We are forgiven children of God in the kingdom of God. Live like it. Live like it. Ian Thomas, fascinating evangelist. Greg knows Ian Thomas. He's our buddy. He's going to be with the Lord. And he goes, the problem with the church is it lives like Christ doesn't exist. Because not here and not doing. Ask anything in my name, I'll do it. No, you live like Christ doesn't exist. And Christ is speaking to us. And then I'm going to leave this with you, what God says. We are forgiven. Listen to Christ. Ask anything in Jesus' name, he will do it. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your love. I thank you for your goodness. Lord, when we look at these words like this, and two, it's not a list of to-dos and don'ts. And you're not saying any of that. You're saying, remain connected with me. Remain connected with me. Let the sap flow through to the branches and remain connected and love me and listen to me. And I will prune you and you stay hold tight to me, and I prune you some more and you stay hold tight to me. And listen, you can ask anything. Ask anything in my name. I'll do it. I'll do it. That's who we are. Brothers and sisters, that's who we are. That's who we are. All God's people said, amen. Let me stand and then we'll, I was going to sing you solo, but I'm not. When all our band comes back, we'll have a good closing music for you. And granted, I am giving you lots of mercy by not singing a solo to you. Okay. Okay. God bless on all of you. Have a good week. Hope you're enjoying your summer. And God's hand upon each one of you. Listen, the Lord is speaking to you. Just spend some time. He's speaking to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Ooh.